Let us pray, Father. The very first thing that we need to remind ourselves is that we are still sinners and beg your forgiveness constantly. And the mercy that you give us for that forgiveness is a blessing. And so we are exceedingly joyful for that. We thank you, Father, for the many things where we have messed up and you have lifted us up yet again. We thank you, Father. We're exceedingly blessed when one of our flock returns back, overcoming the mountain of physical frailties that this body endures. We thank you for bringing Sister Hazel back. We thank you that Chuckles doesn't have fleas. We thank you for the ability to be able to share out. We thank you for hearing that, hey, I'm just glad to be here this morning. And we ask that you lift up the people in Margaret's life. She cares so strongly for them. Watch over and keep Lee Jr. and family as they are training to continue on into the mission field, into a hard country where they will suffer. But they will survive because of the shield that you will put in front of them, Father. We pray for them. We pray for Frank, who is not here with us today. And we thank you, Father, for the answered prayer that moved in Diane's life, for Betty and for Aaron. We thank you. Father, we pray for Charlie Strait as he continues to struggle. We ask that you would lift him up. And we also know that you joy now for receiving a soul that is full and rich and that led those to Christ. We thank you for knowing that. We ask that you be with the Jensen family, Father, that you would be with the father of that family and remind him of his duties as father, as head of the household, and strengthen the mother and bring young Zach further along in his recuperation. And Father, we pray for the Cleaver family, Father, that they be lifted up, that Gary continue along, that although he struggles, that he too will survive. That he too will come out of this praising God even more. Father, we pray for Glenn Strait, who is not here with us. As he is sitting in the emergency room, I ask that we as one body join together and pray strengthily for him. We thank you for reminding us of birthdays. And for the blessing of being able to be here to speak of you. And Father, we pray for this country. This country, Father. We pray that one nation under God is what it means. We remind ourselves that the country we live in was founded by those who believed fully, wholly, completely in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while we are under attack from the dark one, both personally and abroad, and widespread, that you would continue to use that to push us closer to you. Father, we pray for Linda Mound as she goes on to surgery. We pray for Becky Barkley. We lift her up. Her surgery's on Tuesday, and we pray that you would deliver Charles back home to Africa where he can continue the mission, taking what he has earned here and putting it out there. We thank you, Father, for binding us together as family. We care. We love. We live. We grow. All through the name of Jesus Christ. Let us all join together and pray the way he laid it out for us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, boy. I heard that. Amen. Open your Bibles up. If you take notice, the sermon title is, You Will Survive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. If you have now known the sermon title, You Will Survive, you know what direction I'm headed, and I'm here to tell you right now. Everything spoken of this morning seems to be supporting that sermon title, even down to our responsive reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now, I'm going to warn you up front. You're going to be scratching your head at the other end of these scriptures. Pay attention. We're going to be moving very fast. I declare to you, Paul writing to the church at Corinth in the first letter, verse 50, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. Thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. Thank you. May God add His blessings to this scripture as we prepare to go into this sermon. Let us pray. Father, not my words, my thoughts given to me by you, your sermon. And so let it wake us up, even me, Lord. Let it lift us up. Let us learn from it and go from here knowing it was good to be here. Let us hear these to our ears that we may know your word a little fuller. And that we may use it to survive, to endure. Father, bless us through these words, this sermon, through your message, as we are gathered here to get today. In Jesus' name we all said, Amen. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully sitting in his cage, tweeting along. The next second he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problem began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage, and the phone rang, and she turned around to pick the phone up, and she barely said hello when she heard, and she turned around and Chippy was gone. She gasped, slammed the phone down, shut the vacuum cleaner off, opened the bag up, and there was Chippy. He was still alive, but he was a little stunned. Since the bird was covered in dust and soot and dirt, she grabbed him and raced him to the bathroom and turned on the faucet and held Chippy under the running water, and then realized that Chippy was soaked and shivering and almost near death. She did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted him with the hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who initially had written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just kind of sits there and stares. And it's not hard to see why, is it? Sucked in, washed up, blown over. That's enough to steal the song from anyone's heart. Amen? That's a story from Max Lucado that tells
you will survive. We can get sucked up, washed out, blown over every day. Every minute of every day. Just when you think everything's peaceful, what happens? The phone rings. In my house, when the phone rings, I run out the door. Unfortunately, I have to carry one with me, so everybody still knows how to get a hold of me. That's the nature of why we're here. That's the nature of why we live. Because guess what? You will survive. Whatever is coming at you, and it's coming, ain't enough to take you away. I got a hold of a thesaurus. Thesaurus. I'll never say that word right as long as I live. And I looked up the word survive. And I had what thesaurus says is similar to the words. You ready? Bear, endure, exist, get through, handle, ride out, subsist, suffer, sustain, weather, withstand, outlast, outlive, outwear, persevere, persist, revive, be extant, be left, carry on, carry through, come through, cut it, get on, go all the way, go to the limit, hold out, keep afloat. I like that one. Live down, live on, live out, live through, make a comeback, make the cut, pull out of it, pull through, remain alive, see through, stand up, and tough it out. That list ought to be on my refrigerator, especially the last one, tough it out. How many times do we suddenly find ourselves in that situation where we're thinking, I can't go a step further. That's it. I'm done. I don't understand this. Why is this happening to me? Notice where I'm looking. Why? Looking down. Why? Why is this? What? Help me. I've heard the statement. I've uttered the statement. You know, the Lord says He's not going to give me more than I can handle, but man, He must think I can handle an awful lot. But you will survive. It will come through. Circle back around to Paul's writing. You will be changed. Not here. Sorry. You have to wait for it. Survival teaches patience. I often wish that I could lie down and sleep without waking. But I will fight it out if I can. So wrote one of the bravest, most inspiring men who ever lived, Sir Walter Scott. Does anybody know who that is? Ivanhoe. What boy didn't read Ivanhoe and get himself a sword and a funny looking hat with a feather in it and want to go out and conquer the world? Man, I've read Ivanhoe. I've even read it recently because I'm still a kid. Sir Walter Scott, in his 56th year, failing in health, his wife dying of an incurable disease, he was in debt for $500,000 in the 18th century. You understand that? We say $500,000 today, and that's still an exciting number. That would have been probably several million today. A publishing firm he had invested in and collapsed. He might have taken bankruptcy, but he shrank from it. From his creditors, he begged time. And thus he began his race with death, a valiant effort to pay off his debt before he died. He moved into a small room in Edinburgh, Scotland. And say it that way, because if you don't, the Scots will take you to task. When I was in Scotland, I said, "This is Edinburgh, right?" And boy, everybody turned around and looked at me. What? What'd I say? It's Edinburgh. Okay, calm down. He went there and he left his wife, Charlotte, in the country. And while he was there, she passed away. After the funeral, he wrote in his diary, "There is an enemy coming upon my house. Would I not do my best to fight, although oppressed in spirits? And shall a similar despondency prevent me from mental exertion? It shall not, by heaven." And he began to write. And what did he write? Ivanhoe, Rob Roy, Woodstock,
Count Robert of Paris.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And poetry, and tons of books. And he labored steadily until the fall of 1832, when he passed away, September 21st, 1832. Happy in the illusion that his debts were paid, but they weren't. He left his estate to charge to Anglican priests. The books that he wrote paid off his debt in 1847, shortly thereafter. He survived. He survived. With everything falling down around him, he survived. Thomas Carlyle wrote, "No sounder piece of British manhood was put together in the 18th century of time." And so we suffer, and we think it's in vain. We struggle. Paul, once again, what does he say? "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm." We suffer. We struggle. It was 2007. I still fight with this all the time. Don't think because I'm here that it ever has left me. In 2007, in October of 2007, my world was taken away from me. The path that I was on, money, fame, everything, I was headed that way. I was going to make more money. Y'all know the story. I was going to be closer to home. Everything was coming my way. And in one day, it was gone. Gone. It still bears its imprint on me these many years later. The beauty and glory is what? I survived. I came here. Found out God's plan. Don't always like it. I'll have to be honest with you. It's a hard road to hoe. I used that expression the other week down at work amongst my city friends. I said, "Man, that's a hard road to hoe." And they went, "What?" I said, "You know, hard road to hoe, garden. You have to hoe. What's a hoe?" I said, "You got to hill taters with it. You know, you got to hill up around the corn. You got to go down between the rows with a hoe, get the weeds out." "Why?" "Stop talking to me. It's a hard road to hoe sometimes. You know what? I love every minute of it. It's tough. It grinds on you. I wouldn't have it any other way. You know why? You know what we learn when we suffer? You know what we come to a realization of? We can't ask the question why. Well, we can ask it. We don't get the answer. What we get is the action. And you know what the action is? It pushes you harder, closer, more into the grasp of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Because if everything went right, what would you forget? Everything. Everything. I love seeing people that do things from memory. I try to do as much of it as I can from memory. I was once making some dinner. "Don't you need to read your instructions?" "Man, I know what I'm doing. I've done this 100 times. And I baked it up and bit into it. What in the world? It reminds me of that old movie, Coal Miner's Daughter, when Loretta Lynn, y'all seen the thing, when she forgot to put, what was it in the pie? Sugar, salt, something? Whatever it was, you could tell it wasn't there when he bit into it. We become too complacent if everything is perfect, and everything won't be perfect. If everything was perfect, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to step on his dirty mud ball and die on that tree. You understand me? He taught us you will survive. Regardless of what's going on. Regardless of everything. And it's not going to be easy. I'm not trying to take away from that. It's hard. It's heavy. I know that. Billy Graham wrote in his book, Till Armageddon, "Suffering teaches patience." These words were found pinned on the wall of a prison cell in Europe. "I believe in love even when I don't feel it. I believe in God even when He is silent." Even when he is silent. Paul back in Corinthians again is writing. And it's kind of, let me explain it to you. I'll give you the Reader's Digest of it because a lot of people get lost in that. What's that perishable and imperishable and mortal and immortal? I'll give it to you real simple. You cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven until you take on the imperishable. Who's the imperishable? Jesus Christ. You cannot clothe yourself as a mortal except with the immortality of Jesus Christ. And until you have that, here, you're not going to get it. You're not going to be able to release it. The world lives by flesh and blood. The world lives by its own self-destruction. The world lives in the moment, in the here, and in the now. And that's why so many people, Christians, some of you in the room, probably all of you at one point in time, me included, have asked the question, why? Because we forget we will be changed. We will be taken out of this mess, and we will be changed. We will become righteous. I heard it said, how comes Christians suffer so much? Because they're the ones given the righteousness to do so. But the only thing that you get from that, and Paul is writing it, stand firm. Hold tight to Jesus Christ. Turn back to God. In those moments, as much as you want to question why, in Isaiah chapter 48, in the 9th verse, for my own name's sake, now this is the prophet writing what God told him, for my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you so as to not cut you off. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Verse 11. For this, for my own sake, for my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. Those three little verses, here's what they mean. The things that could happen to you, I won't let, my child. And though you go through the fire, it is to glorify me. How in the world would I let my creation defame my name with such tragedy? You will survive. You will survive. You will make it through. You will come out of this on the other end. You will see what has been laid out for you. You will know this. James Packer said, grace is God drawing sinners closer and closer to Him. How does God in grace prosecute this purpose? Not by shielding us from assault by the work, the flesh, and the devil, nor by protecting us from burdensome and frustrating circumstance, not by shielding us from troubles created by our own temperament, but by rather exposing us to these things so as to overwhelm us with a sense of our own inadequacy and to drive us to cling to Him more closely. You will survive. I'm sorry it hurts. I'm sorry the pain. I'm sorry the frustration. I can't fix that. I can't. Nobody can. What it does is it brings you closer. It tightens you in. And it has to go that way. Again, if it were easy, you'd forget. You'd step away from it, I guarantee you. I know it. My greatest example of how I know that if you're not governed, you can forget is that stupid chocolate fountain at Golden Corral. I walk in the doors of that place and see that thing bubbling and I have to go. I won't go near it. Ask her. I will not come within 10 feet of it because I'll be sticking everything in there. Salad, chicken. We have to be able to understand that survival comes at the teaching of patience and the drawing closer to Him. I don't know why so many things happen all the time. James goes on to write the ultimate reason for our standpoint, why God fills our lives with troubles and the perplexities of one shore or another, is to ensure that we will learn to hold Him fast. The reason why the Bible spends so much time reiterating that God is as strong as a rock, a firm defense and a sure refuge and help for the weak, is that God spends so much of His time showing us that we are weak. Paul continuing on. Therefore, my dear brother, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You will survive. Most of the Psalms were born in difficulty. Many of the epistles were written in prison. Most of the greatest thoughts of the greatest thinkers of all time had to pass through fire. Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress from jail. You ever read that book? I love that book. I still don't understand all of it, but I love listening to it. Florence Nightingale, too ill to move from her bed, reorganized the hospitals of England. Semi-paralyzed under the constant menace of apoplexy, Louis Pasteur was tireless in his attack on disease. During the greater part of his life, American historian Francis Parkman suffered so acutely that he could not work for more than 5 minutes at a time. His eyesight was so wretched he could only scrawl. Yet, he contrived to write 20 magnificent volumes of American history. Sometimes it seems that when God is about to make preeminent use of a man, He puts him through the fire. That's from Tim Hansel. Sometimes it seems when you're just about to hit it, right? That brass ring, you're about to make that point. Man, I got it. I got it all figured out. Wham! Down you go. But you will survive. We have a tractor in the shop right now. That tractor is going to be the death of me, and I know it. It's a 1938 John Deere beat that my grandfather owned. When I get off primary call, I'll be going back up to the shop. It will mark the 10th time we're going to tear this tractor down. We've done everything to it, and it still won't run right. And the other night I was over there, and my uncle walked out in the shop, and he goes, "That thing's leaking again." "What?" He said, "Yeah, it's leaking at the head again. It has to be tore down again. I'm going to beat this tractor." It's the same thing for you, brothers and sisters. Whatever's pushing down on you, your family driving you crazy, your friends are driving you crazy, your neighbors are driving you crazy, work is making it hard on you, life is making it hard on you, I don't feel good, my body hurts, everything is going wrong, you will survive. Father, just peace, patience, understanding. Peace, patience, understanding. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Open your Bibles up, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. We're going to read this out loud together. Get them open. I tell you, don't close them until I'm done. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Here we go. Read it along with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. In other words, you will survive. How do I define you will survive? All right, first of all, take a look around you. Look at all these flowers. All right? I haven't forgotten, Rachel. It just wasn't time. They were coming into the sermon. Look at it. I don't even know what this thing is, but this is... I can't quit looking at it. This yellow flower with all these streaks of red in it. What's that called? Flower? Okay, I'll take that. You don't know. We're really in trouble. That one right there? That's a day? They're all days? Well, whatever it is, that thing's got racing stripes. I like that flower. I have been waiting to use these because if you want to complete the definition of how you're going to survive, I found it. In the middle of where it should never have been, grows a sunflower. See, now turn the lights off. In the middle, where it shouldn't be, is this sunflower. Next picture, please. See now around it? Weeds! That's goldenrod, lamb's quarter, junk, foxtail, orchard grass, all the way around this thing. Ain't nothing but weeds. Should that be there? No. In the middle of a junk field down in a swamp, the other side of Tawnytown, Maryland, grows that pretty sunflower. I've been watching it. Next one, please. Look at that. Look at that blossom. It's already started to give over some of its seeds, which could mean there'll be more there next year. All by itself. There ain't a house around it. In the middle of all them weeds, that's where it grows. You will survive. That ain't good enough for you? Next one. I almost got killed taking this one. This is Interstate 70. On a Friday afternoon, I'm in my truck, and I pulled over at 4 o'clock in the afternoon with cars going 90 miles an hour, growing along the side of a guardrail in a place it does not belong is what? This sunflower. And I got news for you, and we're going to see it again in a minute. Next one. Look at him. He's reaching. Weeds, cars, going fast. Somebody blew a tire. There's a Pepsi can over here. Shouldn't drink Pepsi anyway. Look at that. Next one. Here's what I want you to see. Right here. This plant, when I first started to notice it, was taller than I am. Right there is the main stalk being cut. Somebody came along and decided that beauty had to be with them. So they killed it. Or did they? Look! It's still surviving! Look at the traffic! Look at all the cars. When you go by, things way in the breeze. And they don't slow down for it. Nobody knows. People blowing their horns at me and yelling things. Get out of the road! This beautiful sunflower is surviving. Alongside the road, next one. Alongside the road where it never should be. Back up one. And it's still trying to live. Stand firm. Hold tight to the Lord. You will be changed. You will survive. You will come out of this on the other end better. You are God's creation. And if you have taken Him in, you belong to the most powerful and most high Jesus Christ. And there ain't nothing on this earth that can take you away. You're going to suffer. Can't take that away. Sorry. But you're going to survive. I'm telling you that if that plant can grow beside that nasty road and bring that much beauty and joy to a lot of people, you will survive. You will survive. Say it, I will survive. No matter what the gates of hell throw against me, I will survive. Say it. No matter what your friends, your family, your neighbor does, it's of no consequence. You will survive. Say it. And I tell you, when you're changed, Oh, the glory that will be. Say amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, you have given us yet another example of what your word truly is. You've given it to us through the simple beauty of a flower. How much more can we endure? I don't know. How much more can we get through? I don't know. How much more can we outlast? I don't know. That's in your hands, Father. That's in your time. But you will give us to be able to bear, endure, exist, get through, handle, ride out, subsist, suffer, sustain, weather, withstand, outlast, outlive, outwear, persevere, persevere, revive, get through, and remain alive in your name. All we need to do is turn to you all the time. We thank you, Father. We thank you for that beauty. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. And we thank you for the reminders given so freely that we will survive it all. Not necessarily here, but over there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I found this poem. It's called Good Timber. Listen up. The tree that never had to fight from sun and sky and air and light, that stood out in the open plain, always got its share of rain, never became a forest king, but lived and died a scrubby thing. A man who never had to toil to heaven from the common soil, who never had to win his share of sun and sky and light and air, never became a manly man, but lived and died as he began. Good timber does not grow in ease. The stronger the wind, the tougher the trees. The further the sky, the greater the length, the more the storm, the more the strength. By sun and cold, by rain and snows, in tree or man, good timber grows. Where thickest stands the forest growth, we find the patriarchs of them both. And they hold converse with the stars, whose broken branches show the scars of many winds and of much strife. This is the common call of life. If you have a particular need today, if you need to be strengthened, the prayer bench is open. If you need me, I'm here. If you just want to come and leave it here, leave it here. Don't go out the gate without doing it and getting right.